Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it's always better when we stand together for things like competence and national security. We're discussing Pete Hegseth's meltdown, Pete Hegseth's inability to follow simple instructions like don't use your personal cell phone to communicate military airstrike timings. In the hours before said airstrikes are to occur, you could kill pilots, you could kill American soldiers. That's bad. He was told this, and yet used his personal phone and a messaging application called Signal to brag. It's the only possible justification that I can think of to his Fox contributor wife, his personal lawyer, and his bro, his literal bro. Like, hey, I'm the big man on campus. We're about to bomb them Houthis. I'm shocked by it. And here's the other thing. In true Trumpian fashion, everyone else gets blamed for Pete Hegseth's complete and utter total incompetence and failure to follow the most basic instructions from knowledgeable actual expert staff that told him in the weeks leading up to the strike against the Houthis to not use Signal and don't use your personal phone to talk about these things. Did it anyways, because Pete Hegseth, I don't know, fill in the blanks. Maybe we'll have a little episode of Mad Libs. That's a new segment. Pete Hegseth is blank. Adverb, right? Call in with your Mad Libs on Pete Hegseth, 855-752-4842. NPR reporting. Hegseth used the Signal messaging app on his personal smartphone, detailing minute-by-minute classified information about airstrikes on Houthi targets in Yemen. It happened at about the same time in March that Hegseth shared similar details with top White House officials in a different Signal chat group that accidentally included a journalist. That leak, hours before airstrikes hit, could have endangered U.S. pilots if that information about the timing of strikes was intercepted by U.S. adversaries. You don't say. And by the way, U.S. adversaries like China, Iran, North Korea, Russia, etc., can break the encryption on things like Signal. That's why the U.S. military and the Department of Defense spent billions to create a messaging platform that is only used by government officials with top secret clearances to communicate, you know, airstrike timing. Why aren't you using that? Well, two reasons. One, it's ego and he wants to brag, and you probably don't want you bragging and, you know, giving yourself a congratulatory slap on your own back, like, ooh, I'm the big man. You probably don't want that on the government communication system because that's subject to open records and FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act. So why would you be using these channels on your personal phone to brag and to communicate information to people that you shouldn't be doing that with, and you don't want the open record, the public record that is subject to requests and record-keeping obligation under the National Archives laws, et cetera, et cetera? It's not like you can put in a FOIA request to be like, hey, give me all our military plans. But you're required to retain those, and eventually they do become discoverable under FOIA. The response from the Trump administration to both Signalgate 1 and Signalgate 2 has been to what? Blame everybody else. The acting inspector general for the Department of Defense undertook an investigation. That investigation reportedly also leading up and into the weekend led to the resignations of three top officials within the Department of Defense, including his deputy chief of staff. Excuse me, the assistant to his deputy chief of staff. The reports are more people are considering resigning if Pete Hegseth sticks around. This is probably why they're looking to replace him. You can't literally have every person in leadership leave an organization and hope it survives. That usually doesn't work. And by the way, the people that resigned, it's clear from the circumstances that they were being blamed for the accurate information about Pete Hegseth's use of Signal getting out to the mass media. They're clearly taking the fall for that. This includes, these are two senior advisors, Dan Caldwell and Darren Selnick. They were accused of the leak. This is also another former Defense Department official, John Uliott, who left last week again. He then said in a piece that came out in Politico this weekend that the Pentagon is, quote, in disarray under Hegseth's leadership and suggested that Mr. Trump remove him. These are people that, like, got past the Trump vet to continue to work in Pete Hegseth's Department of Defense. You see what I'm saying? Like, these aren't some, you know, the swamp, the shadow liberal. And so what have they done for the past 2 days? Caroline Leavitt, Donald Trump, Pete Hegseth. They just blame these other people for his incompetence. Like, they wouldn't have anything to leak if they did leak, if you just did what everyone told you to do and not use your personal phone and not use the Signal app. How is your incompetence someone else's fault? Which brings me to, what does Pete Hegseth and Harvard have in common? Because you never thought you'd hear those two words together in the same sentence. Here's what they have in common. The Trump administration apparently accidentally sent the threat letter to Harvard last week. Not last week, the week before last. On Friday at 1 o'clock in the morning. Apparently 1 a.m. is when everything is happening. It wasn't supposed to go out. The one that said to Harvard, basically, we're going to take over management of your university and tell you who you can admit, what faculty get tenure. You're going to litmus test people now. And Harvard, this past Monday, a week ago today, said no thank you to the Trump administration. You remember this? And then they say, oh, we're gonna yank your tax exempt status, your $2.2 billion in federal grants. They all go away. It's the only time anybody's been sympathetic to Harvard. Oh, I want Harvard to win. No one's ever said that until now. They're like, yes, you should beat the Trump administration. Their response to their own screw up, oh, we shouldn't have sent the letter to Harvard, to blame Harvard for taking the threat letter seriously. You can't make this crap up. All right, I just want to compare this, these two statements, because it's pretty hilarious. Here's Pete Hegseth blaming other people for his incompetence, okay? This is Pete Hegseth today. This is what the media does. They take anonymous sources from disgruntled former employees, and then they try to slash and burn people, ruin their reputation. It's not going to work with me. No, Pete, you do a fine job of ruining your reputation all by yourself. So that's Hegseth responding to his own incompetence coming out publicly. You know, when you're a White House cabinet official responsible for $2 trillion, 4 million employee department called the Department of Defense? Yes. That's Pete Hegseth's response. Those damn disgruntled employees and the media, blah. So they accidentally send the threat letter to Harvard. Harvard responds and is like, no, we're not going to do any of that. We'll see in court. Thank you. And here is the administration's response to the reporting about the fact that they sent the threat letter to Harvard in an error. See if you see a similarity here, folks. It was malpractice on the side of Harvard's lawyers not to pick up the phone and call the members of the anti-Semitism task force who they had been talking to for weeks. Instead, Harvard went on a victimhood campaign. These two things are exactly like the other one. Pete Hegseth is objectively incompetent. So what does he do? He blames others for his incompetence and then blames the media, paints himself as the victim of these things, but accuses them of the bad actions. You get it? These people on the anti-Semitism task force, which isn't about anti-Semitism, it's about suppressing speech. It is cancel culture. It is the antithesis of free thinking, free speaking Americans and the independence of every private institution in the world, or at least here in the United States. Do you think the government should be able to tell your church what gets said from the pulpit on Sunday? Because that's what this is about, as they try to tell private universities how to teach, how to recruit, how to compensate faculty. And the response there is to call Harvard that there's some sort of false victimhood campaign and it's their fault we're incompetent. Always somebody else's fault for the Trump administration's incompetence. Always. Of course, that's nonsense. Harvard said this in response to the White House's claim that it was somehow Harvard's fault that the White House screwed up and sent a threatening letter to Harvard. Somehow their fault. Harvard said this. The letter was signed by three federal officials, placed on official letterhead, and was sent from the email inbox of a senior federal official and was sent us on April 11th as promised. The Anti-Semitism Task Force said, we're going to send you a letter with our demands on April 11th. And then they sent a letter with their demands on April 11th. And somehow it's the Harvard administration's fault for figuring out that the letter was a mistake? For not figuring? Recipients of such correspondence from the U.S. government, even when it contains sweeping demands that are astonishing in their overreach, do not question its authenticity or seriousness. Are you frigging kidding? What the frickin' frack? Does this remind you of anything else? Oh, I'm sorry. We mistakenly deported a man in violation of his due process rights and a federal immigration judge order that said he should never be deported. But screw that guy. It's his fault because he's bad. Anybody picking up on a theme here? I'd like to know, what is the Trump administration actually responsible for? Would they ever stand up and say, something doesn't go right, there's an error, mistake happens? Is there any evidence of anyone that works for Donald Trump standing up and saying, yep, we screwed that up, our bad, we'll fix that right away, I'm sorry. We're sorry. And if you worked in a company where none of your coworkers and your, nor your boss, nor anybody in leadership would ever accept an ounce of responsibility for anything, would gaslight the hell out of you when their mistake made your work harder, is that a place you'd want to work? I mean, heck no. So yes, Harvard, Pete Hegseth, immigration issues, it's all the same stuff. The Trump administration screws up royally, then blames everybody else and calls you a bad person when you ask about their mistakes. That's the pattern here. Cam from Appleton, thanks so much for your patience, my friend. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing all right. Good show today. I really like that you were able to cover the Pete Hegseth junk. If people want to act like this isn't such a big deal, or, well, signal's encrypted. One, for years now, AI has been getting studied to read encrypted traffic without decrypting it and being able to modify it while it's encrypted. That's not a joke. That is some serious problems and serious ramifications for quite literally every piece of security we use today. Two, I think people need a reminder of a really specific event. In 2016, a Russian journalist that was a military reporter in Syria was taking information from 4chan to bomb specific places in Syria, and they were just using Google Maps to figure out the specific places. If any of that information leaked to morons on a site like that or just anywhere, yeah, not great.
100%. Thanks so much for the call, Cam. Thanks to each and every one of you for sticking with me through my Hegseth and Harvard, what do they have to do with one another discussion. We come back, I'm going to talk about the passing of Pope Francis, as well as what his final words to the world on Easter Sunday mean for Christians and Catholics who support Donald Trump. When we come back here on the Civic Media Radio Network.